There is no greater comfort than salvation from sin. There is no greater encouragement than being set free and redeemed again from the sin that sentences us to death, hell, and the wrath of God. The ultimate comfort ever is Jesus Christ the Son. This is the comfort of God proven again in the very heart of our passage in verse 3. Amazing. God has sent his Son to redeem and heal and save and forgive, to comfort his people.
Hi, friends, and welcome to Live in the Light. This is Shannon today here in the studio with Pastor Robbie, and we are starting off with a brand new sermon series from one of my favorite sections of the Bible, 2 Corinthians. We are calling this series Strength in Weakness, Comfort in Affliction, and boy, don't we need that. Today's message is called The Theology of Comfort. And haven't we all at some point made our own theology of comfort, the things that we tell ourselves to make ourselves feel better?
Yes, we have. And I'm excited too, Shannon, that we're going to be in 2 Corinthians for this powerful unpacking again of all that's in there. You mentioned it's one of your favorite sections of scripture, Shannon. I agree. It's one of my favorites as well. And we're going to be going verse by verse through this wonderful, wonderful book again, where the overarching theme is strength in weakness. God does not work in the proud. God does not work in those who think they're strong in themselves. God empowers and blesses those who are weak and broken. And the overarching theme will take us to really, really neat places throughout this series. And today I'm excited. Again, this first section, so beautiful. And it's a theology of comfort. What does it mean that God is a God of comfort? I believe, listener, right now here at Live in the Light, you will be encouraged today and blessed. So we're going to be unpacking the first seven verses. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I specifically pray that God will meet you with his comfort as we learn about that he is the God of comfort. Affliction has purpose, pain has meaning, and God comforts us in it all.
And so thankful for that. So let's get right into this passage from our brand new series. We are heading into 2 Corinthians chapter 1.
If you can open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, obviously in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And with that, we begin a multi-month series. You can see the graphic there beside me. We begin today a verse-by-verse exposition of 2 Corinthians. And hold on to your seats for a second, because this is going to take us, Lord willing, to the month of June, okay? So yeah, that's right. There's 13 chapters. We're going verse by verse. God's word is amazing and astounding. It's a long time, but it's going to be an exciting journey. We're going to have a few pit stops along the way, obviously around Christmas time, and then after, and then Easter, and then maybe a couple of others. But for the most part, we're going to be going verse by verse through 2 Corinthians again, until June. I'm excited for this though, because 2 Corinthians contains a meal that is loaded with protein, has tremendous flavor, and some outstanding side dishes. I like side dishes. Do you like good side dishes? I like good side dishes. Just wait, you'll see again as we go through this. The letter of 2 Corinthians has incredible theology with some truly intense application, and there's a lot for us to chew on as we go through this, including today. I mean, I've already been so blessed this week diving into our text that we'll be seeking to go through today. And I've been challenged and meditating on it, and I'm excited to bring this meal to you today as well. So understandably, as we begin our series in this extensive letter, we need to build a little bit of context and introduction, as we rightly do as we begin. And that's what Paul does as well. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, take a look at the first two verses. Paul gives a familiar greeting, which he uses in most of his letters. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul is not an apostle or a preacher by coincidence. He is there by the very will of God. And of course, he is accompanied by Timothy, our brother. To the church of God that is in Corinth with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you, I love that, divine resources to you and peace, divine tranquility to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, a familiar greeting. What do we learn right off the bat here as we enter into 2 Corinthians together for the next several months? Well, on the screen for you, we learn this simply, straightforwardly. The author is Paul. Unquestionably, the author is the Apostle Paul. He wrote this letter to the Corinthian church around AD 55 or AD 56. He wrote 2 Corinthians 1 year after writing 1 Corinthians, and he wrote this from Macedonia. That is the author, undisputed author of 2 Corinthians. Then we have the setting. The setting, of course, is the city of Corinth, or again, more specifically, the church located within the city of Corinth, which is located in the province of Achaia. So what do we know about Corinth in the first century? Well, Corinth was a politically important city. It was also strategically located for trade and business. Great trade routes, again, by land and ship, could find their way through there. By the mid-first century, Corinth had been drastically rebuilt from, let's say, 100 years ago. Corinth was prosperous, it was cosmopolitan, and it was diverse. Corinth was a very wealthy city. Corinth was very focused on status. We'll see that throughout this letter. Corinth loved self-promotion, and they loved self-glory. Corinth, just to put it bluntly, Corinth loved its sin. It was a city that was highly immoral and very spiritually confused. Does that sound familiar? Sounds familiar to me. I mean, that is the nation we live in. We love our sin, we're highly immoral, and we are very spiritually confused. Sounds like Ontario, sounds like the GTA, sounds like the place that we live every day. This is the setting, again, of Corinth. What is the theme? The overarching theme, as you can tell, obviously, from the slides you walked in, is this: strength and weakness. That is the overarching theme within the letter of 2 Corinthians. And I put there in brackets as well, you could say right alongside that theme, which is very closely tied together, is comfort within suffering, which we will see again today as well. So part of our context of 2 Corinthians is Paul's opponents were questioning his apostleship. They were accusing him, or they were accusing the fact that, listen, he suffered too much to be a true apostle of Jesus Christ. He's like, you're going through way too much suffering, bro, for you to be a true leader in the church. We need someone who doesn't suffer as much as you do. But what Paul does, he actually argues and turns that against them, and he says that all genuine Christ followers, and argues that it's their very weakness and suffering for Christ that does prove their authenticity and reality of leadership in Christ. It's so backwards from the world. So his accusers say, you can't be a true leader, you suffer too much for Christ. Paul says, it's the very fact and proof that I am a true follower and apostle of Jesus Christ because of my suffering, my hardship, my afflictions, and my weakness. Because after all, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God dwells with the lowly, and God is so near to the brokenhearted. One of the theme key verses of this entire, again, letter, which you will probably know well, is when, again, Paul recounts as God said to him in the midst of his tremendous hardship, for my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Yes, the power of God is most evidently displayed in the weakness of his children, and the weakness that comes about through hardship and suffering and trial and affliction. So this is the exact theme that Paul launches his letters with. What's so amazing to me too, that we see in 2 Corinthians, and not to mention throughout scripture, is that genuine Christ followers will align with Christ, listen, through endurance, adversity, and suffering. How's that for a sales pitch, okay? But it's the gospel, it's true. This is our reality. Genuine Christ followers align with Christ through endurance, when life is hard, adversity, and suffering, because that's when the power of God's Spirit is most evidently displayed in our lives, and we'll see that all throughout today and all throughout, again, 2 Corinthians as well. So this is the theme, again, that is so, so dear to Paul's heart. This is the life that he's living, and he needs the church to understand and be discipled in these powerful truths, okay? So let's look now at verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. Let's read our text, and then we'll jump in it together going verse by verse. Paul says this, he praises God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, notice, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. You hear a theme building here? And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Well, that's a mouthful, isn't it? There's a lot going on there. I'm excited to unpack it with you. Now, Bible study tips, okay? We should know this. Whenever you're studying scripture, right? One of the things you look for, there's many things, but one of the key things you look for are when you have a passage is repeated words within a passage to help you identify the main point the Holy Spirit's pointing out and the author is writing about within that section of verse or text or scripture, whatever is. So knowing our passage here, reading it out loud, any idea what the theme might be as we go through verses 3 to 7, okay? Yes, the answer is comfort. Okay? The word is used 10 times in 5 verses. 10 times a form of comfort or comforted is used again in 5 verses. So there's no question whatsoever. This is what the Holy Spirit is putting down. We need to pick it up. Okay? So that is why then our sermon title today is this, A Theology of Comfort. This is what Paul is bringing to us today, a theology of comfort. We need a theology of comfort. So interesting to me and so important. Now, some of you right now might see the sermon title and hear that phrase, a theology of comfort, and you're like, why is that important? Some of you might say, I've never even heard of theology of comfort before. Well, Paul has, and he eagerly wants us to know about it, not to mention the Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible and wrote this letter, again, precisely and without error, through the life of the Apostle Paul as well. So today we're unpacking, again, this tremendous need for a theology of comfort. What do we need to know? Number one is this, theology of comfort number one. Our God is the God of all comfort. Our God is the God of all comfort and consolation. Again, look at verse 3. He's praising God. Blessed, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. What a beautiful theme this is. Father, I praise you. Father, I bless you. Why? For you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You are the God of consolation. So as we jump into 2 Corinthians here again, loved ones, I want you to think about this. The heart of our God to comfort. The heart of our God to console. What are we learning about our God here? Our God is flooded with compassion. Our God is flooded with the desire to encourage and strengthen his people. This is all throughout scripture. All throughout scripture, God reaches out to his people with love and care and compassion. How many times in scripture in the Psalms do we read that God is our refuge, our strength, our help, our deliverer? The Psalms tells us that God keeps every tear of ours in a bottle. He sees everything. He knows all the hurt that we are experiencing. The Bible tells us again and again, God continues to pursue us and forgive us and embrace us. Lamentations 3 tells us his mercies are new every single morning. The power in the heart of our God to comfort, again, us. And verse 3 actually proves this. Can you see how there's proof in verse 3 that our God is the God of all comfort and ultimate comfort? It'd be easy to miss this because it's the phrase we see, they go together often. But notice Paul says, the God and Father, listen, of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want proof that God is the God of comfort, then you understand that God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus Christ. See, if this was Judaism, it would stop with God. But now in New Covenant, New Testament, Christianity, and biblical understanding of theology, God our Father, we can only call God Father because his Son, Jesus Christ, came, right, to die for our sins. So it's what, mid-October right now? It's not too early to talk about the incarnation and Christmas, is it? Not for Pastor Robbie, it's not. Not for me. And let's think of Luke chapter 2 and Simeon. And Simeon is there. He was a righteous and devout man waiting for the... Yes, good for you. Consolation of Israel. Consolation, exact same word as 2 Corinthians 1:3. Okay? Simeon is waiting for the comfort of God to arrive. How is God going to comfort Israel? How is he going to comfort us through Christmas and then through the incarnation? He comforts us by sending his son to die for us. There is no greater comfort than salvation from sin. There is no greater encouragement than being set free and redeemed again from the sin that sentences us to death, hell, and the wrath of God. The ultimate comfort ever is Jesus Christ the Son. This is the comfort of God proven again in the very heart of our passage in verse 3. Amazing. God has sent his Son to redeem and heal and save and forgive, to comfort his people. Notice in verse 3 we read the God of all comfort. That's important. Not occasional comfort, not the God of some comfort, not the God of most comfort. No, the God of all comfort. What does that mean? It means, listen, ready? It means that God is always ready to comfort those who call upon him. He is always ready to comfort those who call upon him. The Greek word for comfort there is paraklesis. Paraklesis. You could say, again, to come alongside, to strengthen. Paraclete is the word for the Holy Spirit. We think of paralegal, paramedic, coming alongside to help. Paramedic, coming alongside to help, again, heal and to provide medicine. Or here we have the paraclesis. Again, God's coming alongside to strengthen and encourage his people. That's what he means, a comforter. He's the comforter that desires to do this. He is the God of all comfort. Notice in verse 4, notice, who comforts us in all our affliction. Wow, some deep, deep theology here that we need to really pay attention to. So what do we learn? We learn this. The God who comforts us in all our affliction. God has such a heart for the suffering. God has such a heart for the brokenhearted. God has such a heart for the afflicted. In all our affliction, you know what that means? In all our affliction, God sees every tear. I want you to hear that today. Who's that for today? In Orangeville today, and those watching today. God sees every tear. He sees every attack. He sees every suffering for Jesus Christ. And God guarantees comfort. When it says that God is the God of all comfort, he comforts us in our affliction, this is not a, there, you'll be fine. There, you'll be fine. No. That's so weak. That's so flimsy. This is a, I am here to strengthen you. Like, I love etymology sometimes. I find it very interesting. And of course, the word comfort from the Latin, again, original, the prefix calm with, and then fortis, of course, strength, right? To comfort someone is to come alongside with strength. Incredibly biblical as well. So rooted in the original Greek there too. This is what comfort means. God comes to us with his strength. He strengthens us. I've been overwhelmed how much the Bible talks about the strength of God. How much we need the strength and power of God within our lives, right? So what are we learning here? The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. There is no affliction God cannot reach. There is no sorrow God cannot meet with grace. There is no sorrow in this room that God cannot meet with grace. There is no affliction that God cannot comfort in this room right now. He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. So this becomes a very important piece of theology for us, by the way. This is like today, again, I've been chewing on this. I've been so blessed personally this week. I just so much want you to share and how I've been blessed, and I pray you will be through the word today. Let's do a little practical theology of comfort. Here's what Paul is explaining to the church in Corinth. He's like, listen. God is guaranteed and has in our past, he's delivered us and comforted us. Is it true that in our past, God has brought comfort? The answer is yes. Listen, not always the way we would expect, not always on our timing, but he has. He always comes through because he's perfect in character and he's perfect in deliverance and comfort. Our past is a sign of the guaranteed comfort of God, again, that has, again, come before. Then we have the future assurance or the promise of God's comfort in the future. Ultimately, when Christ returns, but also in this life, God is true to his character. He guarantees our comfort in the future, and we know he has been perfectly true to his comfort in the past. So past comfort, acknowledge. Future, again, comfort. We know by faith this is going to happen. So then past, again, reality, future guarantee leads now then. You take the past, the promise of the future, and now you apply it to the present. And when this theology is being loaded up into your mind and renew your mind with who God is, then all of a sudden you're like, he's been perfectly faithful in the past. He promised he'd be perfectly faithful in the future. So that means right now I can take in the present, I can have peace of mind. There's many need to apply that right now, because really what you're doing in the present is just guarantee what's going to come in the future. And the peace of mind, no matter where I find myself right now, no matter what I'm doing, the reality is I belong to the God of all comfort, who comforts me in all my affliction. The power of the Lord. I want you to notice too, okay? Listen, this is so important. Our emotional comfort does not come from within ourselves, okay? You have to realize your emotional comfort in life will never come from places, again, that the world says that they do, okay? You're never going to find it from yourself saying you're enough and believing yourself and you're so great. And like, maybe you think you're great, but again, you're sinful. Like, it's just like, I don't think I'm great. I think I'm a desperate sinner in need of a beautiful Savior, okay? Listen, your comfort, I love saying things like this. Your comfort will never come from Taylor Swift. Yes, yes, yes. It's awesome. So good. Okay, I just love saying that as a representation of what so many people are trying to live for. Your comfort will never come from self-help. Your comfort will never come from your next job and your bigger paycheck. It'll never come from that. Stop being so dumb, right? We're so dumb. Like, we keep living these lives like somehow we're going to find comfort in these useless, stupid, superficial, empty, meaningless pursuits that the world says, oh yeah, it's going to be great. And you get there and you're like disappointed again because we're dumb. I'll just speak for myself. I am dumb, all right? Jesus Christ is the only one who comforts. The God, the Father of all mercies, is the only one who can truly comfort. This is what we have to realize. And the moments of truth and perspective to say, man, I will not find comfort in from myself or the world around me. The comfort comes from the God of all comfort. I wanted to bring this up. I think it's important for several reasons. So my wife, Jill, and I, we were at the launch of Hope Hamilton last weekend. A couple of our kids were with us as well. And that was an exciting time. So we get there. And just to give you an update, the place exploded in week one. You know, there's going to be well-wishers. We're not sure. We'll see what happens today and kind of in the weeks to come. But there was standing room only. There was no parking. Overflow room was overflowing. They ran out of seats. They had to send 50 people away. They literally had no room in the building, okay? This was a church. Like, they're renting a church. This before this. It was a building had 10 people a week in it. And now all of a sudden, 1 week, I was pulling in. I saw, like, people in the neighborhood. I'm pretty sure they were like, what in the world is happening there now, right? It's so exciting. So we'll see what happens in weeks to come. Super exciting. So my wife Jill and I sat down. I felt bad for taking a seat, by the way, but I was praying during the service and so needed to be there in some form. But I was sitting down, and as the buzz and all the stuff was happening, and I said, hey, Jill, could you see this day when we started in 2003 in our core group of 18 people in a small office building in Oakville? Could you imagine this day? She's like, I could not imagine this day. I said, I couldn't either. It's a moment of such perspective for me, such perspective, which I love so much. I love so much. Because in 2003, and by the way, I was 28 years old at that time. Oh my goodness. And here we are all these years later. And listen, and you take 2+ decades of all that we've seen, right? Hey, there are so many highs and there are so many lows. There are so many joys and so many sorrows, yes. There's so many victories and so many seemingly defeats, right? Like the up and down, all the high. And you sit there in a moment and you see, has God been faithful? Has he comforted? Oh, yes, he has. And I sat there in that moment. I had such a peace come over me as to the reality of the comfort and the goodness and the faithfulness of God. You continue to trust him. You continue to look to him. And you get to see days where another church is planted and the gospel is proclaimed, and they're going to do a work that we could never do here in Oakville. It's so awesome because this is what the God, amen, this is what the God of all comfort, this is what the God of all comfort does, okay? Point number two is this, theology of comfort. This is huge. Our affliction is designed to produce God's comfort. This is big boy Christianity now. This is big girl Christianity. Our affliction is designed by God to produce God's comfort. Look at verse 4, okay? So notice, who comforts us in all our affliction, notice, so that, what is that? In the Greek called the henna clause. This is the result of the preceding truth, right? Comforts us in our affliction, so we sit there, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God, right? So what's happening here? This is what's happening here, okay? One of the powerful designs of affliction in the life of the Christ follower is that it allows us to experience, listen, the supernatural comfort of God. Say it again, okay? One of God's foremost designs in affliction in our lives is that it allows us to experience the comfort of God through our lives, right? So what do I mean by that? So often, the trials of life are that which produces the greatest testimonies of God's grace. Over and over again, it's the hardship and suffering that produces the supernatural comfort of God, again, as our Savior. I think I mentioned this maybe a month and a half ago or something, but it was just a year and a couple months ago. My wife and I, we send our daughter Bliss in for cancer surgery again in like June of 2024. And you send her in to strangers who are going to, and we were sitting down in the hospital cafeteria. And I remember I'm like nibbling on a piece of toast or something. There's just me and Jill and like a spattering of people, and you're waiting. And they're, and because of the grace of God, and because of no doubt the prayers of God's people from this place, so filled with love and grace towards us, I'm telling you, I was sitting there nibbling on a piece of toast, and I have rarely felt more peace in my entire life. I sat there, and the comfort of God was so overwhelming to me. Jill, you're here right now too, and I remember, in some ways, I'm like, I never want this feeling to end. That's how powerful it was, okay? Let me say this and put it this way bluntly, okay? No cancer, no comfort. Not like that. I've never experienced and that degree in that situation, something like that. It was so overwhelming. I'm like, I do not want this feeling and peace to end. I tell you, I was like, man, for heaven and what's gonna, oh my goodness. And the grace of God. But again, listen, no cancer, no comfort. Not like that. I think of over all the years, man, 2 decades plus now preaching here in this place. I think of how many times I've essentially been crawling to the pulpit, broken, undergoing spiritual opposition. I am so weak, so desperate for God. Stand up to preach, fighting discouragement. Like anyone seeing, you wouldn't know. I mean, just kind of, just everything looks fine. It's not fine. And I remember you stand to preach, and then all of a sudden, in your absolute brokenness and so devastated in so many ways, and then the grace of God meets you in that moment. You open up the word, and you're sitting here, and all of a sudden, God's grace, it's so undeserved. It's entirely undeserved. It is all his kindness and favor and answered prayer and blessing, and all of a sudden his grace floods your soul. And what happens to Robbie up here? He melts under the grace of God. Tears fill his eyes and start running down his cheeks. And people listening say, oh, Pastor Robbie's sad today. No, he's not sad today. He is overwhelmed by God's grace and God's comfort, which is melting him when he knows all he deserves is the opposite of that. And it breaks you, and it blesses you, and it completely consumes you. And you're like, it's all God. And it's so humbling and so powerful and so awesome. Listen, and this is in the affliction that God brings us comfort. When you are down and weak and you are so broken, this is the opportunity to see God comfort you in a way you would not know otherwise. Big boy Christianity today. Big girl Christianity today. Listen, and all of you have so many stories. All of you have so many stories, again, where you could tell me how God comforted you, again, in some of your hardest and darker moments. And by the way, the principle here, again, this is important theology leading to very important application. Listen, are you ready? This is why you don't want life to be easy all the time. This is why you don't want life to be easy all the time. Because if life is easy all the time, then in some form, in some way, you miss out on the incredible supernatural comfort of God. You hear me? This is big girl Christianity. You don't want life to be easy all the time because in some form you miss out on the supernatural comfort of God. Can we admit right now that one of the greatest idols in our lives, in our society, but in our lives is the worship of worldly comfort?
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna be-